Sahavirayankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Then continuing on 17. Okay. Maybe we should just start by Shamshaya. Shamshaya. By study of the Vedas, one can understand all about Brahman, since by studying one will understand the meaning. From that, the mind will then reject karma and worship Brahman. What is the necessity of studying the Brahma Sutra, right? So the doubt that comes up is, why do we have to study this Brahma Sutra, since by performing our karmas and then studying the Vedas we'll get knowledge, right? So then we already have the understanding of this, and we'll reject the karmas and we'll come to that transcendental platform. So there's no need to perform these things, right? So it's the karma mimamsis. Then when they're you know, in Grihastha Ashram, that's when they're going to perform all the karmas. But naturally, because they're following the Vedas, the Vedic system, and they're pious, they're going to, therefore, when they take vanaprastha and sannyas like this, then they're going to study the Upanishads. Right? It's just part of the process. And that's the piety, so that next life, then their karmas will continue very good. So they're going to go the whole life of... Yeah, so their whole point, why do we need to study the Brahma Sutras? We're naturally going to give them up anyway. Does that make sense? That's their doubt. Does that make sense? Right? Because that's what he mentioned in the beginning, that the Jaimini was going to be the main, at least in this part, the main antagonist. No? Is it just in this area, or where does it start switching into the other six?
Also, the three, the first three is impersonal, is in the Maya heart.
Okay. So he'll deal with karma and karmis and jnanis. So that the first four aren't so strong, or
strong in terms of
means Nyaya, Vaisheshika,
no.
Shankhya, Yoga. So basically, just this is Nyaya. I mean, karmi mimamsa and purvi mimamsa. That's impersonal. Okay. Yeah, because if you get rid of karma and jnana, you got rid of the other ones anyway. Yes.
So they consider Vedanta Sutra not to be transcendental, but that's why they want to give it up?
It's not so much, I don't think that they don't consider it transcendental. I don't think that they consider transcendental important. You know, it's more of just your... In other words, their whole point is being... being pious, right? So when you're a brahmachari, you study the Veda, you memorize. When you're a grihastha, you apply it to the brahmanas. Then as a vanaprastha, you study aranyakas, yes. And then as a sannyas, you study the Upanishads. And so that's your duty, so you're doing that. And so during brahmachari life, you don't perform karmas. During grihastha life, you must perform karmas. And then when you retire, then you stop performing them. So for them, they'll look at it like that. That'll be one thing. The other thing is, since you mentioned, it's the other aspects of impersonalism. See, because impersonalism has always been part of the Vedic system. But nowadays, when you think of impersonalism, it comes to mind Shankara, right? Because Lord Shiva comes, he's a great devotee, so naturally it will follow him. He'll become more prominent than all these other people. So then they have this idea, it's all Brahman, this, that. So the point is even from that angle, by studying the Upanishads, you don't need Brahma Sutras. Because the difficulty of the Brahma Sutras is going to be is that it's actually talking about Bhagavan, not impersonalism. Right? It's establishing the position of Brahman, but it's not equating Brahman with impersonal. Brahman means the Supreme Personality of God. Right? Yes.
With karma monkeys, if sannyas is giving up of karma, do they generally bother with sannyas?
That I know of, they'll do that because it's just part of the pious process. In other words, they're trying to gain as much piety as possible. Because their idea is that if I only do pious works, I'll only get good results. Mm-hmm. Right? See, it's just like this. From performing the karmas nicely, I'm going to elevate myself and get a particular facility. Yeah. If I renounce, I'm going to elevate myself even farther. So there, I don't get the idea so much that their interest is to get out of the material world, because they feel that you can eternally go on enjoying the material world if you're always pious. Mm-hmm. So by the detachment, they could get themselves up, you know, more higher or more smart. Benefit.
Maybe topple over or something.
Yeah, like that. Or even if they're not interested in that, they'll get better facilities within Swarga. Because renunciation is even more powerful than karma. So it's just at which point in your life you're supposed to do what. So they're just go by textbook. Mm-hmm. So they follow their ideas, you follow the textbook, everything will be perfect. Everything being perfect, your stay in the material world will be perfect, so what's the need to go anywhere else?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. You know, so they're like the ultimate karmis. You know, nowadays what you've got, these aren't real karmis. These are small time
pseudo karmis.
Yes, pseudo karmis. It means they're committed to enjoyment, but how much enjoyment do they get? You know, it's not like they go down to the, you know, at the appropriate time they all go down to the disco, and then by, you know, whatever it is, you know, 11, 12, 1, whenever it is that they pulled in, by that time the disco's empty because everybody bounced. No, it's still full after that time of people who are still frustrated. And that's what I'm saying, is even they're committed to sense gratification, they don't get it. Mm-hmm. You know? They don't get nice food, they don't get anything. You know? If they're really rich, they can get some decent clothes that cost about 5 or 10 times what they need to make. But, you know, the whole point is for all their effort, it goes away so quickly and not much is left. You know, it's like, you know, you get yourself, you know, one of those 12-cylinder Audis or something like that, but you can still only go 50 kilometers an hour in the city. You know, you got your Fiat 500 or you got that. You can only do 50. That's the rule. Plus, you have all the bumps and this and that, so the other one has a problem. You know, so actually, just for the effort you put in, you don't get back that much. There's a moment here and there. You know, when you're sitting in traffic, no one's looking at your car. You know, when you pull up to the hotel and the guy comes out to take with the key, then at that moment, a few people notice. You know, and if you park it someplace, people notice, but you're not there to get the benefit. You know, so that's the problem. They put in so much effort and get very little back. So they're actually not very good karmis. Mm-hmm. Well, guaranteed, the proper karma in mimamsa is eating better, dressing better, getting much more facility.
Okay. In this life and the next.
Yes. Okay. Because they've turned to the scriptures. They've accepted the scripture as authority. So that puts them on a better platform. While the others, they're using their speculation on where it'll be good. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's like when you get in... When you're in traffic, you know, and there's 3-4 lanes, and whichever line you're in, that's the one that's not moving. And then you see the one next year really moving, so then you get over into it, and as soon as you get into it, it stops, and then the one you were in moves. Yeah.
In heaven, they would have flying cars to avoid that.
Yes, yes. But that's only the Karmini Mumsas yeah. will get that. Your other guy just gets stuck in traffic. You know, so that's the problem. But, as pointed out from, what was it? The Prahlad Maharaj is saying, is that the point is you've tried all the different things and you see that they still don't satisfy the soul. So the biggest problem with Jaimini is that the soul can't be satisfied even if it is great. They're just probably all sitting around telling themselves it's great. So they're doing the same thing that the other karmis are doing. They all just sit around and aren't we having a great time? So then they'll all sit around and talk about how they're having a great time. But in actuality, the soul can't be satisfied. So that's why then Jaimini will get rid of all karmas and the impersonalism will get rid of all jnana. So whatever mixes there in the other systems, you're taking care of it. But at some point, he'll get into and deal with all six philosophies exactly. But the point is, if you've already established the defeated karma and jnana, then defeating the smaller aspects of that are already easy. Right.
Thank you.
Due to understanding the meaning of the Vedas superficially, one's intelligence, so this will be the uttara.
Yeah, I mean, not explicitly, but anything...
But I'm saying...
Is the response.
But I'm saying due to, that will be back to Baladev, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Due to understanding the meaning of the Vedas superficially, one's intelligence can be destroyed by doubt and can take the opposite meaning of its statements. By studying the sutras, one can understand the conclusions of the Vedas and then overcome doubt and mistaken meanings. One can thus become fixed in the highest truth. This will certainly happen by studying these sutras. Right? So you're studying the Veda. Now, if you don't study deeply, then the problem's going to come up is doubts will come. Because if you just look at the verses themselves, there'll be seemingly so many contradictions. So these contradictions themselves will create doubt. And if there's doubt, then you're not really going to get any benefit. Right? So the Vedanta Sutra, that is like giving the essence of the Veda, so it'll be explaining it in a more clear way. So it will clear all those doubts. So this idea is, no, I can just study on my own, doesn't work. Because unless there's depth, you can't reconcile what seems to be contradictory. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. The meaning of this, the meaning is this. The duties of the ashrams become limbs, assistants of knowledge, because they purify the heart. Thus it is said, etam viranu vachanena brahmana vidhi, no, vividhi shanti yagyena dhanena tapasa nasanena. The seekers of Brahman try to know him by study of the Vedas, brahmachari, by sacrifices, by acts of charity, grihastha, by austerities, vanaprastha, and by fasting, sannyas. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4:4. Actions such as telling the truth, austerities and japa also lead to Brahman. Satyena labhayas tapasa yesha atma samyak jnanena brahmacharyena nityam. One can realize the Lord by truthfulness, austerity, knowledge, and celibacy. Mundaka Upanishad 3:15. It is not only the Shrutis who say this, even the Smritis say the same thing. Was there a footnote here?
Yeah.
Where was that footnote?
End of the first paragraph.
Oh, okay, so we've already done this. Okay. Now, this is a quote here, no?
Yeah.
Without doubt, a brahmana will attain perfection by japa alone, whether he performs other duties or not. he, the friend to all beings, is called a Brahmana. Manusmriti 287. So Manu is mentioning of all the duties of a Brahmana, performing japa is the most important. But it also means here is that he's performing japa because of the proper attitude. He's becoming the friend of all living entities. So when it comes to that platform, then he's actually situated as a proper Brahmana. Yes?
Japa would be personal meditation?
Japa would be performance of, you know, when you chant mantras over and over again, counting, and, you know, but it's yourself. It's not necessarily kirtan, but it's that. But the point is it's the recitation of the Lord's names. That's the most important thing. So in all ages, they use this. So for us, that will mean the Hare Krishna mantra. At other times, it means the Gayatri mantra or some other mantra that they're chanting, like Dhruva Maharaj are chanting Om Namo Narayanaya, like that. Point is the chanting of mantra over and over again, that's going to be your best process. So the Shruti is saying that in the Upanishads, as he's given. Now here, the Smriti is also saying this.
Maharaj,
yes.
How is he a friend to all living entities?
Because he doesn't, he has nothing to gain from anybody else, so he deals with everybody properly. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. Association with a person who knows the truth is the cause of jnana. Mm-hmm. Footnote 19. Jnana in the commentary does not mean the sadhana to attain impersonal Brahman, but rather bhakti to attain realization of Bhagavan. Right? So here is that we can see as the Vedanta Sutra will give the proper meanings of all these terms. Right? So Brahman means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jnana means the knowledge by which bhakti is performed. Like that? Yeah? For instance, Narad began his inquiry about Brahman by association with Sanat Kumar. The Smriti state this. Know the Lord by surrender, questioning, and service. The seers of the truth, the jnanis, will teach you this knowledge. Bhagavad Gita 4:34 to the 20th. Okay, so very serious. A lot of verses in this chapter, right? Okay, Srila Prabhupada also comments. In this life, one must select the goal of life and act accordingly. Having received instructions from the spiritual master and the Shastra, one must be sufficiently intelligent. In the human form of life, one should not remain foolish and ignorant, but must inquire about his constitutional position. This is called... It's a secret. Don't say it too loud, right? Okay. The human psychology gives rise to many questions, which various philosophers have considered and answered with various types of philosophy based on mental concoction. So here is the human psychology itself is giving rise. So people are thinking, no, I'm coming up with this. But it's actually the human psychology. So depending upon your nature, then the modes are bringing these things out at the appropriate time. Does that make sense? Because otherwise someone will think, no, I'm so intelligent, I thought of this. But actually it's not. So when we say the six schools, these are the methods that philosophy can come out. Now, except for these really great souls, they come up with one philosophy. And it's so-called complete in itself, or at least it's consistent with itself. But it's not complete until it accommodates Bhagavan and devotion to the Lord. Right? So most philosophers nowadays will be a little from here, a little from there. That's why if you study the six schools, then you know all the philosophies anybody could come up with. But the combinations they'll come up with won't necessarily represent a particular school. That's important to know. Right? So it's not that you're going to meet some Jaimini guy on the street, you know, in New York or something. No. It's that he'll have a little from here, a little from there. All these things are just taking bits and pieces because that's how the human psychology works. So even if they're non-Vedic personalities, still they'll come up with a philosophy according to these lines. There won't be any difference. So as you start from the top down, the basic fundamentals of them, that life comes from matter, will always be the same. Now, exactly how it comes out, which aspect of this is important, and what they do to elevate them, that's where you'll start getting differences. Then you start seeing mixes. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then you have your atheistic schools, which I think he'll deal with also. He mentioned in the beginning, so the Baudas and that. So if you deal with basically Buddhism, you deal with all the impersonal schools. I mean the non-Vedic schools. Like that. So everyone's going to have these mix of these things.
Okay.
Charvak, yes. But he's just a gross form of...
Karma.
Of karma, yeah. Yes. You know, how you say. You know, he'd wear the t-shirts, sense gratification now. Right? You know? Yeah. Yes, it means the humans can think in a particular way. You know, to make a human, then you have a particular combination of the modes. So within that, there'll always be sub-combinations you can make. So those sub-combinations will come up with all these fun kinds of philosophies. Right? You know, a turtle is not interested in those things. You know. Is that?
Yeah, and the inquisitiveness for trying to find out the truth and what is beyond the illusion and things like that is to do with the soul, isn't it?
That's the nature of the soul, that they want to know that, but then when you take that and filter it through the polluted consciousness, then you'll end up with all these human philosophies. Because Vedanta is actually transcendental, it's not human. Right? But the point is it's presented so that, how you say, the purified human can appreciate it. Does that make sense? So, because you're dealing with human consciousness, then human can accommodate from the transcendental down to the totally mundane. But it's by the grace of the Lord, you know, through Guru, that where you are situated in this. Right? So if you're interested in transcendental knowledge, you'll be situated on that direction. Right? And if you're not, then you'll be situated on this end. Krishna says there's only one path. So depending on where you situate yourself, then... Yes, because it's a matter of what we're interested in. We want pure unalloyed devotional service. Krishna will arrange that direction. If we're interested in something else, then we'll get that.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking of a t-shirt. I would actually say YOLO.
YOLO.
It's an acronym for it. You only live once.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You just live to the next.
Okay, YOLO. Yes, that would be it. No, but the mechanics that are there are the same mechanics. It's just how you're using them. Does that make sense? Means the technique, let's say, of boiling something, or frying or baking, whether it is non-veg or veg, the technique's the same. You know what I'm saying? So the mechanics of human intelligence, that's going to be the same. Because this nyaya means it's presented through intelligence. But the point, what it's giving the actual higher understandings. Because for the material platform, Brahman is already the topmost understanding. But when you're dealing with the actual transcendental position, it's the lowest. Bhagavan's the highest. Does that make sense? Okay. Human psychology gives rise to many questions which various philosophers considered and answered with various types of philosophy based on mental concoction. This is not the way of liberation. The Vedic instructions say, Tad vijnanartham sagurum eva bhigacchet. To solve the problems of life, one must accept a spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. If one actually is actually serious in inquiring about the solution to material existence, one must approach a bona fide guru. One must approach a bona fide guru by surrendering himself pratipatena and rendering service. An intelligent person must inquire from the spiritual master about the goal of life. A bona fide spiritual master can answer all such questions because he has seen the real truth. So here, the real truth means what is in line with Guru Sadhu and Shastra. That's the real truth. Some try to interpret this that means, oh, you are there and talking with Krishna directly in his threefold bending form. They got that into three-armed form. Yeah. It's a new one. That one. There's a deity, though, in Sri Rangam. It's a small Nisringa deity. I think he's the Utsav Murti for the Nisringa deity in the Rangaji temple. And some, I think it was Ram Nomi, and someone, Pujari or some devotee was reading Ramayana to the deities, or something, you know, to the devotee, something. He was there, but it was in where the deity could hear. And then when it came to the point where Ravana was killed, then they heard this roar, jai. And then afterwards they noticed that deity had an extra arm. He had a fifth arm. You know, he'd raise it, hurry up, like that. We used to have the picture on Gornitai's altar, but I think it's since been lost eons ago. So yes, it does. Yes. No, not specifically. The principle to take a spiritual master is there. Just like every jiva has the position to take birth in the appropriate family, but depending upon the matching of their consciousness and the others, then it will be arranged. That aspect is not an important aspect to create faith. It's used in your New Age realm. These are the pinnacle of, you know, emotional authorities. You know, these are the evidence. But the point is when you become interested, then Krishna puts you in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. Point is, when the soul is interested, at that time you'll come in contact. Yes. But if on the mundane platform, it's just like, I remember I told the story, this one devotee, he was like a Namhat devotee from an exceedingly wealthy family. But at one point they lost all their wealth. Right? They were silk merchants, and they had invested, this would have been back, when would this have been? Probably back in the 70s or... I think, maybe, yeah, I think 70s. They had, his father had like millions of dollars invested in silk, in this silk exposition that was being held in New York. You know, it must have been a big fabric thing, and he had his place there. Somehow or another, there's a fire, all the stock was burnt, so he lost all his money. Right? So then, you know, at that time, they're just getting on. And so this person was coming regularly, and I'd always see him coming to Mayapur and that. I'd see him, you know, every festival he'd come and all this and that. Then for some time, I didn't see him for a long time. Then after a couple of years, I saw him again. And then it seemed that they must have gotten, you know, things back together. They were wealthy again. And so now he wasn't really part of ISKCON anymore. Because what had happened is one day, this sadhu, you know, it's probably some local sadhu, and now that they were rich and all that, he came knocking on the door. And when he answered the door, you know, he said, can I help you? And then the sadhu says, you're ready now.
He says, I'm ready. Ready for what? You know, says, no, now you're ready for the spiritual. He says, like, you know, why not? Because I've been waiting. You weren't ready. I mean, the Indians have this down. You know, how to be a bogus guru, they are good. You understand? So, therefore, when it comes to this New Age stuff, the Westerners have nothing on what the Indians can pull out of the hat. Because they've been doing it for thousands of years, or millions of years. It's always been. Since, what's his name? Indra put on the, you know, sannyas dress and was running around, there's been bogus gurus. So, you know, they have a real head start on the Westerners. You understand? So, the whole point is he just saw that now it's worth going to them because now he can get money and stuff like that. So that's why then he goes. But they have these lines. And by saying them, the mind goes, oh yeah, oh. Because he would get into this seeming mystical kind of thing like that. These guys would do great in Russia, wouldn't they? Ooh, boy, they would like take a clean out. There. Yeah, so the whole point is that it's these kind of considerations aren't important. It doesn't matter if that they've always been there or not, or this or that. The point is Krishna's in the heart. He's the Adi Guru. So, yes, you can say, is the Guru already there? Yes, Krishna's already there. He's been the Guru since time immemorial. Now, when we're interested, he'll put you in contact with the spiritual master. Right? You'll come in contact with devotees. Right? And having come in contact, then that faith will develop, then you'll take shelter of the spiritual master. Right? Once that's been done, then it's a matter of now the spiritual master will take care. Yeah, but it's not a matter of that, well, was he there before, and this, don't waste your time with that. You know what I'm saying? You know, better to figure out, you know, whether, you know, which kind of cheese and which kind of mustard you want to put on the rye bread. That way you get more benefit out of that. Right? Levy's, right?
Same answer, but can I just
No, all these things, don't worry about the past, right? Because the past is in this case will be the mode of ignorance. So all we're doing is getting ourselves hyped up on some, maybe this, maybe that, but that's not what's special. What's special is they can show you Krishna and how to go back to Godhead, how to serve Krishna. That's special. It's not special. Oh, they were there. Oh, wow. Don't waste your time. You'll only bewilder yourself and distract yourself. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So our point we're discussing is that the truth means you've heard the truth from your spiritual master. And giving, and you understand that you give. So that is the truth. Right, not that, oh, until he comes to the platform of, what is it, you know, Nitya Siddha, Uttamadhikari, pure devotee, you know, some Paramahamsa, Mahabhagavat, then only then he can be a spiritual master and everybody else is a, you know, schmo. Right? Does that make sense? That's important to understand. It means whatever level someone's at, if they've understood that, their practice, then they can give you that. The more advanced, of course, the more that can be given. But the potency is there if one accepts what is being given by the spiritual master and follows that. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, some will, using the same techniques, then, oh, my spiritual master, I've heard that said, oh, you know, they were telling some of our boys, you know, you weren't so fortunate to, you know, have taken an initiation from our spiritual master, but he's here now in Mayapur and he'll be giving classes, so at least you can get the benefit of the siksha, you know, as if the siksha was the lesser of the two. And so, this is basically a direct quote. And so that's because he's seen the truth and no one else has seen the truth. You understand? So that's why we're mentioning this point. That was ISKCON devotees. Mm-hmm. Yes.
At the same time, it's considered an offense if you consider a spiritual master to be an ordinary human.
Yes. Yes, because then they're considering everybody else's spiritual master as an ordinary human being. Yeah. So that's what we're saying. You have all or nothing, right? You have zero or you have 100.
Okay.
So So my spiritual master is fabulous, and your spiritual master, well, you know, we're sorry. You know, oh, who's your spiritual master? Oh, I'm initiated by... Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, next line. Yeah, so these are all mundane concepts. These are all mundane concepts. Like, you know, oh, where are you from? America. Oh, I'm sorry.
Where are you from? New Jersey. You admit it.
Really? You admit that? Are you not worried about your social standing? No, but I live in Manhattan. Yeah. No, but what's the mean? What does that mean next to Charya? No, but I'm just saying, what do they mean by next to Charya? He's the guru of gurus. What is the need? What's the importance? Why would there be? Because in other words, how that person's looking at it is by administrative hierarchy, they'll be in a stronger position. Point is that any time any devotee can, by their realization of Krishna consciousness, inspire others to do this service. But why does that have to put them in the position that what they say goes, and the whole structure that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur expected of the GBC and all that, why would that then go out the window because this guy's the acharya? You know what I'm saying? Gaudiya Mada already made that mistake. Why do we have to do it again? Mm-hmm. Like that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was trying to avoid that. So Prabhupada followed in that line. So what does that mean? That kind of acharya we don't require. It will next 10,000 years we don't need one. We already have the founder acharya, it's already done. What we are looking for is devotees who are advanced in their realization in Krishna consciousness. They preach, they inspire others in Krishna consciousness. That's what we're looking for. And that we already have so many. And if there's more, the better. You know what I'm saying? So the point is one, even if that person's here, they can't see it. Could Prabhupada's godbrothers see that he was the founder of Acharya?
No.
One or two understood. They wouldn't necessarily interpret it in that way, but I think I've heard... Yeah, maybe three.
They understood Lord Chaitanya's special mercy and
Shakti. Yes. Yeah, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, I think Bhakti Pramod Kuri Maharaj, and his disciple, who's his name now? With the B? Bodayan Maharaj. They would kind of understand at different degrees. Like that. So, you know, now and again, others will say here and there, but then other actions they do, it doesn't support that. Mm-hmm. Like that, but they were these three were always consistent. So that's the whole point: is that how does these persons that are saying they're waiting for the acharya, how do they know they're not already here? You know, because it's not that Prabhupada's godbrothers weren't nicely situated in the sadhana and didn't know the philosophy and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that. They won't be able to see what's right there.
So this person is saying all of the has a very special position.
Okay, well, if you're saying that kind of stuff, then we already dealt with that one. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, if we've already dealt with something where the concept is there, unless there's a doubt in the detail, don't bring up further discussions on the same thing because it's a variation. Otherwise, everybody can bring up some story. And so if this is just a general discussion, then that would be good. But since we're on a theme, then does that make sense? So if there's some doubt there, then you bring that up. But if it's just a furtherance of the same thing. Because when I brought that up before, it was already, I just didn't want to take it to that point. Right? But otherwise, if you're saying that, telling other disciples that they are unfortunate because they didn't take initiation from their spiritual master, they're already implying that their spiritual master is the spiritual master. It's already done. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Introduction to Sri Chaitanya Prabhu is a little bit of a discussion about the Aryan culture, that they're a culture that renders a perfect union to the faithful master. Right,
right. So, right.
Do you think that's more beneficial for us to like inquire and try to study more about that culture than Aryan culture?
But Aryan culture means what is connected with Krishna. That's Aryan. Aryan means that, you know, a few days ago that was the discussion, is that Aryan means someone who is interested in understanding the human, you know, according to Shastra, what is the purpose of human life. That's there. So that's what we're doing. We're studying Aryan culture. Yes, yes. Okay.
Even in ordinary activities, we first consider gain and loss, then we act. Similarly, an intelligent person must consider the entire process of material existence and then act intelligently, following the directions of the bona fide spiritual master. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.47 purport.
Oh, so this is like still with that Prahlad Maharaj. Instructions of Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah.
So, so just as in ordinary activities, we see what's the gain and loss in something. We also, on the spiritual, should see that you have the material world. What's the gain? And if we give up the whole material world for, you know, transcendental benefit, there's no loss. That's the idea. That we can gain from the spiritual master.
That was 20. Okay.
Kamya karmas, as opposed to karmas of the ashrams or japa, bear temporary results. Right, because the karmas, the ashrams, means these are the duties you're supposed to do on a daily or regular basis. Right? Occasional basis, excuse me, on a regular occasional basis. These are just what you do, that situates you there. Now, beyond that, what you want with benefits within that ashram, that will be kamika. Okay. Does that make sense?
So does that mean they're not specifically duties to perform, but something that can be done?
Can be done means, in other words, there's options that you can do, but there's basis, you know, this much is what you have to do, and then beyond that there's other things that fulfill all kinds of material desires. Okay. So that's what's not important, especially for the devotees. They just follow the basis, you know, because that situates them, and then they focus on Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Can we say that Nitya and Naimittika can be transformed and can be devotional service?
Yes.
And that one cannot?
Kamyaka means you would have to be more advanced to engage in devotional service, but because you're more advanced, why would you, unless it was expected? Mm-hmm. Like the big kings, the emperors, it's expected they'll do these big yagyas. Mm-hmm. So we see Yudhishthira Maharaj, Janaka Rishi, they could engage things in devotional service. We see Priyavrata, Rishabdev, Bharat Maharaj, they were all able to engage these kamyaka activities in the Lord's service, but they have to have so much knowledge and devotion to be able to do that. So we're saying in the general life there's no need to use them. It's not expected, you know, like for us it's not really expected. But in these other ages, then they may expect great personalities to be doing some of these things. Does that make sense? So they can be engaged, but they're harder to engage. The Nitya Naimittik Kriyas, those are going to be the natural things to engage. Like that. Though they'll also, you have to know what you're doing to do that. But they're much easier to relate to. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Just as places attained in this life as a result of actions in this life perish, places in a future life attained by pious activities of this life are also destroyed. Chandogya Upanishad 8.16. So I do things here Like, I perform my activities here, but trying to do things that will elevate me to the heavenly planets. Just like I do something here, the result is temporary. I do those things to get myself to the heavenly planets, that will also be temporary. So the point is any karma, no matter what, if it's something you're supposed to do or it's something you could do, they'll always give temporary results. That's the whole point. Karma always gives temporary results. Yan gives a little bit longer temporary results. But in any case, it's still temporary.
So Maharaj, in that sense where it mentions kamya karmas, that could mean any activity with a fruitive desire.
Yes, it's just you decide that I want to get myself a Bentley. That's kamya. It's like, is there a rule that you have to have a Bentley? You know, it may be useful that you have a car, but you need that one. Why that one? Why are you putting your effort there? Does that make sense? It'd probably be cheaper to, whenever you use it, rent a limousine. You know, you don't have to take care of it. You don't have to do anything. You know, already comes with a driver. You know, it's like that. So as far as that goes, but as far as prestige, it'll be nicer with the other. But that's kamika. It's not necessary. Like that. So just as that will be temporary, if you do like these, the karmis, they do these longer term, you know, austerities and yajnas and that to get benefit in the next life, that will also be temporary. So in other words, the point is Jaimini's idea that I'll perform activities, karma, and therefore I'll enjoy eternally, can't happen because none of the activities are eternal. So even you said, no, but I'll be constantly doing, but that's not the nature of the soul. The nature is that it's consistent. So you're constantly having to do an activity to get the result, and if you ever stop, then the whole thing will run out. It gets tiring after a while. So it's not actually what somebody wants. You know?
Plus a slight error.
Yeah, a slight error, and then it's all gone. Like that. And errors do happen, even in the best situations. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, what was his name? Janamejaya. He made an error of allowing in a small Brahmin boy. Right? It's always something to do with small Brahmin boys. Bali Maharaj made the same mistake. Right? So therefore, his karmas were removed. The effect of it was removed. But then there's so much benefit on the other side. Right? Like that. So that's the whole thing, is that every action is covered by fault. So those faults have reaction. Even though you can't, there's an idea is that if I do something wrong, I can do something right to cover it. No, doing something right will give you a good benefit in the future, but what you've done wrong will also give its result.
It's still wrong,
it'll still give its result. But you'll have this other thing along with it. You know what I'm saying? You do something wrong, so you give in charity. You'll get the benefit of that charity, but what you did wrong, well, you'll also get the reaction to that. Where you think, oh, we'll cover it up, but it doesn't exactly work like that.
What's the pastime with the king who turns into a lizard?
Anriga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he that was not in his really, you know, I mean, if he was arranging it better, it could have. But the point is he's giving away every Brahmin. He's giving 10,000 cows and all that, and the management of that, because he's doing such big charities. But then there'll be some pride, there'll be some prestige from that. Somehow or another, the people he had assisting him weren't so careful, so some cows went from one Brahmin's cows over to another. You know, I mean, back to the original, right? Because they're all in a, you know, some pen, something. The cows are given to that other, they wander back because that's what they're from. Then he gives them in charity to another Brahmin. And now both the Brahmins are demanding, no, that's my cow. Right? So that's the problem. You do everything so nicely that problems can't come up. That's the difficulty with the mundane. So if you put too much faith in the mundane, there'll always be something wrong. Well, the devotional, that will always be beneficial. But the secondary attributes of that, that may be nice or not nice, depending on the situations. But the point is the nature of the relationship with the soul to Krishna, that will always be benefiting. Right? And you'll get as good as possible mundane as you can get in the material world. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it is what it is. You go to, what is it? You know,
If you go to Walmart, then you're not going to get boutique stuff. It's just the way it is. Does that make sense? So the material world is just the way it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, yes. Okay.
Definitely on Earth, we don't get
yeah. Okay, Brahman, however, is attained only by jnana. Parikshyana, okay, so if it's karma, then we're out loud, and if it's Brahma jnana, then it's a bit more secret. Use the small letters again.
Are they small again?
At least my ones are small.
Pariksha
lokan karma chitan brahmano nirvedam ayan nastyakrita kritena tad vigyanartam sagurum evabhigachet samitpani srotriyam brahmanishtam.
After examining all the worlds attained by karmas, the brahmana should become indifferent. One cannot attain freedom from karma by acts of karma. In order to realize the Brahman, a person carrying fuel in his hands must approach a learned teacher fixed in Brahman. Mundaka Upanishad 1.2.12. Right? So being indifferent, that's what Manu mentions is the position of the sannyas. They will feel indifferent towards the material. Right? So that means one's come to that stage. So someone who has come to that stage, naturally then they should go beyond this to transcendence, right? And that means learning about the Supreme Lord. Does that make sense? Because otherwise then that was the point before. Remember the point we're making, the doubt is as well, if we study the Vedas, then we'll naturally become detached. Why do we need to study Vedanta? So here's the point, is that you come to that point of being detached, but now you have to go beyond that detachment into knowing about the Supreme. So that's what the Brahma Sutra is looking for. Is that something? Yeah, so that you can only gain by approaching the spiritual master. This Brahman is eternal, indestructible bliss. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Brahman is eternal, filled with knowledge and infinite. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1.1. Anando brahmeti vijanati. Anando brahmeti vijanati. He understood that Brahman is bliss. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.2. Brahman is endowed with qualities like eternal knowledge and other qualities. Natasyam karyam karanam cha vidyate. Natat samas cha bhyadikaras cha drishyate. Parasya shaktir vividhai rashuryate. Subhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. He has no body and no senses. No one is equal to him or higher. His supreme power is manifold. His actions are naturally revealed with knowledge and strength. Sutara Upanishad 6.8. Right. So now we're coming to the point of, since we have to go beyond karma, right? Then what is this Brahman? So now we can see by these verses, one could take it that the Lord has no form. He has no body and no senses. But it says, his actions are naturally revealed with knowledge and strength. But how do you perform actions unless there's a body and senses? So it must mean there's transcendental. So without Vedanta Sutra, how you would understand that? That's. He is the shelter of all and the friend, right? So that means there's a relationship. It means that everything's one and the jivas and the Lord are non-different in that in all aspects, how will there be any friendship? There has to be. The Lord is transcendental without a material body, so that means the soul is also transcendental without a material body, and on that platform, they're friends. Because on this platform, then, friendship is limited. Right? Because we're talking about the unlimited Brahman. So that means the friendship has to be unlimited, it has to be on the transcendental platform.
Mm-hmm. shelter also means that there's a superior.
Yes, true. Yes. And if there's shelter, there has to be a superior, has to be a dream. Very good. Okay. Brahman, attained by prema, has no material body. Sweta Sutara Upanishad 3:17. So here's another. So that again means Bhagavan. Otherwise, prema is not there when you're dealing with Brahman and Paramatma. Right? There may be some respect, some appreciation, but then prema is there when you're dealing with Bhagavan. So again, more things on why Brahman in the Tato Brahma Jigyasa, Brahma means the Supreme Person. Those wise men who worship Govinda, situated in his abode, attained eternal bliss and not others. Gopala Tapani Upanishad 1:5. The inferior nature of Kamya Karma will be discussed in the third chapter. Third chapter means the Adhyaya.
Yeah.
Okay, not the Pada. Okay. One who has studied the Vedas with their Angas and the Upanishads, understanding their meaning, generally becomes disgusted with the temporary and begins to study the Brahma Sutras by distinguishing the eternal from the temporary through association with knowers of truth in order to realize the particulars of the eternal. This does not happen simply after learning all about karma, since one does not see a person begin inquire about Brahman without first having spiritual association. So it's not that just by... Because the point was, as we're doing our karmas and then we study the Vedas, naturally we'll come to that conclusion. But he's pointing out is, no, you won't really switch from karma to jnana without association. It's only by associating with somebody on the platform of jnana will you then see the importance of that. Just as you'll only actually take up karma in a pious way by associating with those who are pious. Otherwise, one will be doing vikarma. Right? So to take up karma, that's only going to come by associating with somebody who performs karma. Right? Just like we become involved in vikarma by associating with somebody who's doing that. Same way as we'll only be associated with akarma by associating with someone who's on that platform of knowledge. So, and on the other hand, those who do not know about karma but have become purified by pure acts and have associated with spiritual persons begin the inquiry about Brahman. So he's pointing out, even without being pious, if they associate with someone who's transcendental, they start thinking on the transcendental platform, right? You could say many of us here in this assembly could attest to this point. Like that. Nor should one say that after practicing the four sadhanas, starting with distinguishing the eternal from the temporary, footnote 21, that inquiry about Brahman begins. 21. The other three are detachment from enjoying in this world, and the next, attainment of six qualities, mind control, sense control, withdrawing from sense objects, tolerance, faith, and tranquility. And the third is desire for liberation. Okay. So it's not that after practicing all these sadhanas, then inquiry becomes. These sadhanas are difficult to attain before attaining association and are easy to attain after receiving teachings from the association of devotees. Footnote 22. Srila Prabhupada also remarks on the means and results of such inquiry and association. Atato Brahma Jigyasa means that in order to get out of the bodily conception, one has to increase attachment to or inquiry about Brahman. Then he can be situated. Spider. Oh, don't. Probably lives under there, eats all the mosquitoes. Oh, these guys. No, he doesn't live under there.
Takshaka.
Okay. Then he can be situated. Okay. One has to increase attachment to or inquiry about Brahman. To get out of the bodily conception, one has to increase one's attachment or inquiry about Brahman. Then he can be situated in the transcendental devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. To increase attachment for Brahman means to engage in devotional service.
Those who are attached to the impersonal form of Brahman cannot remain attached for very long. Impersonalists, after rejecting this world as mitya, or false, jagan mitya, come down again to this jagan mitya, although they take sannyas to increase their attachment for Brahman. Similarly, many yogis who are attached to the localized aspect of Brahman as paramatma, great sages like Vishwamitra, also fall down as victims of women. Therefore, increased attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Increased attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is advised in all shastras. That is the only way of detachment from material existence, and is explained in Bhagavad Gita 2:59. One can cease material activities when he actually has the taste for devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-21 purport. Right, so gaining that higher taste, one can give up the lower. One gains that higher taste from individual, from persons. Mm-hmm. Right? We're a person, we'll gain that from a person. So someone who is more advanced has seen this, they can give you that. Right? That's the whole idea. So it's going to come about by association. It's not that I just studied the Vedas and therefore I'll understand everything. No, you have to get it from somebody, and for somebody who's situated on that platform. Because otherwise, if we say, no, it's just by studying Brahma Sutras, then we're technically saying the same thing that the Karmis are saying. They're saying, we study the Upanishads, we'll know everything. We say, no, you all study the Vedanta Sutra, you'll know everything. No, when you associate and learn from the spiritual master, that's when you'll know everything. Oh, that was the end of that one. Those who attain knowledge are of three types, according to the nature of the teacher. The Swanishtha devotee performs bhakti, along with performing karmas, duties of dharma, or sanishtha, with faith in them. The Parinishtha devotee performs bhakti along with the same karmas to teach others. Right? So, in other words, the sanishta is performing devotional service and one's duties within the varnashram system. Right? The recommended. But he has faith in those duties within the varnashram system. Right? While then the, what was the next one? Parinishtha. Right?
Yes.
The Parinishtha, then, he's also performing devotional service, and he's performing the duties within varnashram. But it's not that he has faith in the duties. He's performing them because they're recommended and they set a proper example for others who would tend to not do. Right? Because if the advanced person doesn't do, then the junior person won't do, because everybody wants to be special. So if the advanced person is doing, then the junior person does. Like we see, Lord Chaitanya followed the rules of varnashram. Therefore, everybody below him would follow. Because otherwise, he doesn't follow. We say, well, actually, Lord Chaitanya didn't follow. We don't need to follow. Right? Yes?
Can you also say that it will correspond to Kanishtha Madhyama
Upama? Yes. Well, Uttama is coming, this Nirapeksha. The Nirapeksha devotee performs only meditation on the Lord without performance of duties. All of these attain the Supreme Brahman by Brahma Vidya, knowledge of Brahman, according to their bhava. This will be explained later. So, we know that the Nirapeksha, now he can either externally follow these things or not, but he's not following Varnashram. He's just meditating on Krishna and serving. Right? So how do you serve? You serve according to the rules, where the rules described within the Varnashram system. Does that make sense? So he's not performing his duties, he's performing bhakti. Does that make sense? That's the difference. Right.
He can perform the same thing, yes, but the mood is only for bhakti. That means all he does.
No, it means that he's starting. He's just serving Krishna, and then you have. It's just like, let us say you have somebody there, in here, the sanishta devotee. So he's cooking for Krishna. He's following the recipe, doing everything very properly, but he has great faith in that. In the recipe itself, right? That becomes more prominent to him than actually the devotional service. But ultimately, it's for Krishna, so it works, right? Then the Parinishtha, then he's also following that recipe,
But he knows the science of cooking, so he doesn't have to. But he's fallen because that's the way to do it. Right? So he follows the rules of cooking. Right? So he is actually more advanced, but it looks the same. But he follows his rules, so you see him doing the same thing. But it's not about that, it's about the cooking, but you do the other. Then the Nirdapeksha, then his meditating upon the Lord, he therefore wants to serve the Lord by cooking something for him, therefore he follows the rules of cooking. You understand? It's actually an important distinction.
Secondary and primary.
Yes. In other words, the neophyte is ultimately focused on the primary, but his focus is basically on the secondary with faith in the secondary. The Paranishtha, then he is following the rules of the secondary, but he's focused on the primary. Right? The Nirdapeksha, he's focused on the primary, but to express that primary affection, you have to use the secondary to express it. See, Mother Jashoda, she has love for Krishna and parental rasa. How does she express it? Through cooking for Krishna. So in other words, the secondary is secondary.
So they are straight relationships.
Yes, but in form, all three look the same. Mm-hmm. That's what gets confusing. See, for the Sanishta, he's cooking for Krishna, but the faith is in the cooking. Right? It's more about the cooking, the technique. Oh, I cooked like this, it didn't come out good, so I should have tried this, I should have tried that. But there's also the element of that the devotion. Like the Madhyama would think, my devotion wasn't enough, that's why it didn't come out nice. Right? Because he knows the technique. Because technique's not enough. Right? Like that. Yes.
Or can you say, well, I have to eat, so I might as well offer the pure cleanse?
Yeah, you could also say that. The neophyte would do like that. While the money is, you cook for Krishna, right? Because Krishna's there, you're going to cook for him. And then since you're cooking for him, then you also get the remedy. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can say also, even up to a level of nishtha, in some areas, we can be very advanced.
Very, very nishtha.
Very nishtha.
In some areas, some, less nishtha.
Some, not some nishtha. It just depends. It's a continuation of the discussion that we had. In some areas, devotees are...
Yes, because it's 75% will establish you as nishtha. So that means 25% is not to that platform, yes. So that 25, that's where it's going to be. It, you know, so depending on who it is, the 25 may be in different areas. Mm-hmm. The 75 may be in different areas.
So we judge by the majority of the percentage.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes we can be confused because we are on the level, for example, Sanishtha. Right?
Yes.
You see someone who is more mature, and in this situation we can not distinguish this person to understand that.
Yes, because in that situation we would do things in a certain way, so if they do that in that way, we'll consider them the same as us.
That means that we need authority. We can exactly show us.
Yes, that's why the spiritual master. That's why it's saying that. It means just studying the Veda alone isn't going to be enough. You have to approach authority. Right? So then one aspect, so we're approaching authority, but that authority should just be authority on their own? No. Then that they have an authority, and then they have an authority, and that goes back to Vyas. So Vyas is given the Brahma Sutras. So the Veda is there, but without approaching the devotee, it won't be understood. So therefore, then you're approaching the present representative of Vyas so that you can actually understand the Veda. That makes sense. Yeah. And so since Vyasadeva has written the Brahma Sutras, that's how you're best going to understand the Upanishads. Is that makes sense? As opposed to the Karmi who just studies because he's initiated into the Veda, so he studies the Upanishads for that Veda and then he thinks it's all complete. You know what I'm saying? But he hasn't. The spiritual master that initiated him into the Veda is not necessarily spiritual. Right? It's called spiritual master because they're dealing with the subject matters there, but whether they're consciousnesses or not. That's another thing. That's why they should come in parampara. Then you get means parampara, meaning from the devotional parampara. Then you'll have that. They'll be in the parampara, meaning of the, how you say, you know, that they've received authority to study the Veda from somebody who's received that authority that goes back, and they can say to who, right? You know, the, you know, what sage they're from. You know, the 21 Prajapatis, the Gotra. Like that. So then you can say, yes, that's your line. So that's authorized. But that's just the study of the Veda. But to actually understand the import of the Veda, you have to approach someone who's on the next level up from that. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, this is a quote. So this is a furtherance of the Shamshaya now.
But? Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow or another, doubts always start with the word but. But. You said but. Okay. But atta merely indicates auspiciousness. It is said in the Smriti, the words om and atta came from the throat of Brahma in ancient times. They thus indicate auspiciousness. Okay. The words employ these words at the beginning of scriptures to destroy all obstacles. Right? So that's all the further they're saying. So this atta is not meaning that you have atta, attaha. Atta means you're performing all your duties and karmas, and attaha, then it was going to the next step beyond that, wasn't it? We were saying? We gave two things. So they're saying it doesn't just mean that. It just means, no, it's an auspicious thing. Because right? In this kind of discussion, they're going to be discussing the word. So here it is, the word and what it means. But because they have common grammar and understanding, therefore you can actually do that. You know? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, in most people, in using language, the word is connected to a feeling, not connected to a grammatical root. You understand?
Yes.
So because of that, it makes it very difficult to discuss things. Okay, then Baladev Vidyabhushan says, this is not so. One should not worry about obstacles in relation to the Lord. Vyasa is the Lord, for it is said, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasam Vidhi Narayanam Prabhum. Known that Vyasadev is the Lord Narayana. Vishnu Purana 3:4-5. Right, because most of the time, the Vyasadeva is a jiva. He's empowered to do this work. But this Vyas is not. He is actually Narayan, Tattva. Yeah.
Mark, that's spoken by, I believe, Parashara Muni.
Oh, okay.
He knows.
His
father.
Yeah, certainly. However, because om is auspicious, it may also function in this way, denoting auspiciousness like the sound of conch, besides indicating the necessity of good association. This is how it's accepted in the ordinary world. Right, so it does have the aspect of auspiciousness, but om also means something. Right? So in the same way, because om also means, A-U-M means the Lord, the living entity, and the internal potency. Right, and then I think that Chandra Bindu, then one of them is the dham, and the other is the pastimes. So in that way, it's a complete description of the Supreme Lord, just in that one syllable. So in the same way, as atta must also have more meaning than just auspiciousness. In the common world, they'll just use it like that, but it actually means more. You know, in other words, if you're saying atta something, then it means it's auspicious what you're going to talk about, but it's also supposed to be applied. Right? Because if we just leave it at auspiciousness, what about application of this auspiciousness? There's knowledge there, but if we don't apply it, how will it give auspicious results? Karma means I'm performing the activity, I'm getting the result. So if atta doesn't mean that it's performing the activity and getting the result, how will there be auspiciousness? Does this make sense? So there has to be more than it's just an auspicious word. You know, it could have been anything else. You know, like that. You know, it could have been Bugs Bunny or something. You know, whatever it is, whatever came out of the throat of Brahma, you know, then that would have been.
He coughed.
Yes. Yeah.
Therefore, when a person has attained association with devotees, atta, after that, he will inquire about Brahman. Right? So having attained that, now he'll do something. Right? And from that, then he'll inquire about Brahman. So that doing is inquiring. Right? So atato brahma jigyasa. So now is the time. You've performed the karmas, not gotten any satisfaction. So having now is the time to start inquiring what's beyond this. Yes.
You make a case that sambandhavidaya prayojana are contained within the first sutra, that now is the situation in place, the means of inquiry and the goal.
Is Brahman, yes. You heard?
Yes.
Yes. So, the whole idea is that if it's a complete adhikarana in itself, it has to have all the aspects of sambandhavidaya and prayojana. So the atta means, you know, now, what you're going, the situation, and that situation means the patra, yourself. Because if we have a situation and there's no people there, that's not time, place, and circumstance. It'll say, oh, we're here, and so this is time, place, and circumstance. No, it's because you're here, it becomes time, place, and circumstance. Right? Because the time and place is that, but the circumstance is yourself. Does that make sense?
Unexpected.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, there's a dark alley, right? And there's some, unsavory characters in that alley, right? Now, that's there. That's a time and place. But until you walk into that alley, it doesn't become circumstance, right? And so when you walk into that alley, then, you know, you follow the traditional exit stage left and go out of there, right? But if you happen to be, you know, Rambo, and you have yourself a 50 caliber machine gun just under your, you know, trench coat, then the other guys should leave. Right? That's the meaning of circumstance. We take it that circumstance is out of my control, so what can I do? No. Circumstance is you. Right? So therefore, in this situation, now you have to do something. So that something is an inquiry about Vermont.
A bag of circumstances. I am a bag of my circumstances.
A bag.
A bag.
A bag.
Bag.
A bag of my circumstances.
I am a bag
so that
of
means,
my circumstances.
So we're a bag of mucus, bile, air, and circumstances.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yes, why not? The bag's got to do something, right? Okay.
My circumstances mean that which is around my location of standing.
Yes, but the point is it's around me. But that's the point is in the modern they leave the me out, even though it's all about, you know, being personal and not, they're actually impersonal. Because if it's the circumstance, what can I do? At the same time they're all talking, okay, so here's the rule in that circumstance. No, how can I be controlled? But no, but you're already controlled by the circumstance. So it's all about what will give the best sense gratification? That's all. The best I in mind. Mm-hmm. Do I follow the Vedic or I don't follow the Vedic? Mm-hmm. But the Vedas, it's since you're there, you have duties, therefore you have to apply those duties in that circumstance. Yeah. So that's the whole point. You have to take it further. That's what was going on. Is but in the ordinary world, then you just take a circumstance as what's around. But in the Vedas, it'll take it, no, what's around is around you, so what are you supposed to do? What is your duties, and what would be your duties in this environment?
There is the mode of goodness.
Yes, mode of goodness, you know, yes.
To control it, to understand.
Yes. So you have to apply it. So that's what it's indicating here, is that something needs to be done.
Jigyasa.
Yes, so jigyasa has to be done. Right, and it's that you've performed activities, but having performed those activities, now it's time. Because it says, now, you know, having come to the human platform of life, now we should do. What does human platform of life mean? It means you're following the duties given in the Shastra. Right? So having performed those duties on that platform, now you should inquire about what's beyond that. Right?
So therefore, either way is how you define. It's the same thing. That's the point. The Vedas are so encompassing that they include all that. Time for a break. Okay, stop.
Thank you.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Janyatai Govardhana ki.